5 pages of research and numbers and strategies and stories. It took me a long time to go through all this. And I got thinking about it, and the more I wrote, the more I wanted to write, and the less I wanted to say. So I might look at this, but I just can't do it. Finances is too personal. It is so hard to talk about money, and debt is the worst. Talk about a budget, talk about savings. People are happy to do that, or at least they'll pretend that they have any. But talking about something we all have and none of us want to admit. You know, if you're over the age of 18, odds are you have debt. What's sad is if you're under the age of 18, you can still get credit cards. It's nuts. We have a problem. We have gotten lulled into a kind of misconception about what debt is and what it does to us. I don't think you'll find very many people who are willing to say that debt is bad. They'll say, well, sure, there's bad debt, but debt isn't bad. Think about your house mortgage. That's a good debt. Think about your education loans, your school loans. That's a good debt. It's an investment in the future. Okay. The problem is, it's really hard to draw that line. You know, it's funny. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, but recently Heather and I closed out all of our credit card accounts. Because we didn't want the temptation of using them. Fair enough. When I told my mom about that, she said, well, that's great that you're getting out of debt and all that kind of good stuff, but don't close out all your credit cards. You got to keep one, just in case. What if something happens? You'll need that credit card in order to take care of whatever problem has come along. And it's funny because that made sense. I didn't do it, but it makes sense. Why rely on my church family and God and getting extra work and friends when I can rely on a bank who's got my best interest at heart? But it's funny, we're raised that way. We're taught that. Some of the stats that I looked up talked about how many advertising impressions that each person gets throughout a year on loans and some kind of credit or debt. And it was millions and millions of them. It was nuts. Debt is the one product, and it is a product that you buy. It is the one product that is most advertised above all other products combined. Well, not combined, but more than any other product. When you watch TV, which I try not to do, and then I get reminded why I don't. Whenever you see anything over, what, $100, $200, they tell you how much it costs per month, not how much it costs. You can have this slicer, dicer, mixer for $999.99 or 3 easy payments of. That's debt. As soon as you're making payments, it's debt. And the problem with debt is that when you are making payments on debt, you don't have control over your own money. You're no longer being a steward of your own money. If things are tight and I need to spend less money, I can turn off my electricity. It'll get dark and cold, but I can do it if I have to. I can use less water. I can turn the furnace down or off and use less gas. I can eat less. But if I have a car payment, I can't use my car less and lower my car payment. I can't use my house less and lower my mortgage. Those debts are large chunks of your income every month that you have no control over anymore. What's unfortunate is that as of 1995, here's one of my stats for you, 92% of the U.S. family disposable income was being spent on paying debts. So that means of all the money you make over the bare necessities, food, shelter, clothing. No, clothing's not really a necessity. Highly overrated. Yeah. I guess during the wintertime you might need some clothing. Anyway. But above those basic necessities, only 8% of what you had left was actually for yourself. Everything else was just going to wear. Just other debts. And that's what gets me is, you know, we all want to give. What money is it that you give? Well, it's your disposable income, really. It's the money that you have left over after you've taken care of the necessities of life. Think of how much a blessing we could be if 92% of the money that God has given us was going to those around us who need it as God led us, instead of going to a creditor. It's an amazing amount of money. That's funny for the young folks, college students. I was one once, kinda, long ago. And I remember, because I worked a while before I went to school, I thought I could make it out on my own and found out that having a high school education didn't get me much money. So I wanted to make more money. Okay, how you do that? Well, you get an education. Cool. I had tried to get credit cards and establish a credit while I was working, because that's what you do. You get a credit card and it's kind of your pass to adulthood. You know you're a real adult when you have a credit card that's not in your parents' name. And no bank would give me a credit card. They wouldn't touch me with a 10-foot pole while I was working. Now, during my registration process at school, at the end of the registration line, there's a little counter there with one of our local banks. Sign up here, credit card, no income, no problem. Here I had been doing something silly. I had been apparently making money, and that was apparently the wrong thing to do to get credit. I had to stop making money in order to get credit. So I walked up to the counter, curious like everyone else, and of course I'd been trying to get one, so I said, yeah, sure. I said, sign me up. I said, but there's no way you'll give me one. There's no way. And they're like, well, are you a student here? Yeah. And you're all registered up? Yeah. You have no second jobs, no part-time jobs, no income? No. Not a problem. And sure enough, a week later, I had my first credit card. Cool. No income, no intent of making an income for at least 2 years, but I've got a credit card. Great. Of course, by the time I graduated, my limit had been raised a few times, and I'd maxed it out. I'd gotten a couple of other credit card offers and accepted them, so I had a few of them maxed out. Then I started working again and thought, you know, I need a car. So I went and got a car loan. I got the most expensive car loan I could possibly get in order to really get a net, because you need a reliable car, you know. So I got a nice, reliable car and a few maxed out credit cards. It's my first job out of school. I wasn't making much money. And then, of course, once you get a nice car and creditors are loving you, it's really easy to go and put $1,500 into a car stereo. It sure sounded nice. And it's a good thing it sounded nice, because it wasn't but 6 months later that I realized that my debts, my monthly minimum payments, were more than I was making. Oops. What's sad is I wasn't alone. Right now, it is estimated by some big bank agency that 42% of us right now are spending more than we're making. So at least I was in good company. So I move home. I put my nice expensive car up on blocks so I can let the insurance run off of it. And every once in a while, I go in the car, turn on the radio, and listen to it, because that's all I can do with it now. I did that for a winter. You know, I took 3 years of accounting. I wasn't I wouldn't think I was a foolish person. But heck, the banks wouldn't give me the money if they didn't think that I'd pay them back, right? Sure. I mean, after all, if I don't pay them back, you know, they're out the money. They're playing the numbers. They'll get you one way or the other. Eventually, I realized I was in real trouble, so I decided to do what a lot of folks do. I'm going to try to get a loan consolidation. It's real nice. It's a neat trick. You basically take all your debts and all your high interest rates and all that, and they do a couple things with you. They find out what the grand total you owe is and say, okay, tell you what. If you're willing to make payments over a longer period of time and a little bit better interest rate, you can wind up with smaller payments. It's great. The bank took one look at what I owed and what I was making and said, you should have never been able to get into this much debt. We won't touch you with a 10-foot pole. I said, but I owe you some of this money. Sorry, good luck with that. You're on your own. Now, it wasn't until just this past year that I found out that that was probably the best thing they could have done for me. It actually worked out well. There are some drawbacks to this loan consolidation stuff. It does fix the symptoms of the problem, but it doesn't fix the problem. My problem was that I couldn't control my own spending. That was my problem. Something like 80% of folks who get loan consolidations within a year or two find themselves back in the same spot again, with not being able to make up their minimum payments on all the extra loans and debts that they accumulated after the consolidation. It's a vicious cycle. So what did I do to try to get myself out of debt? Well, I did a few things. First, I got a second job. Fortunately, I was working at a college, and they needed some part-time, I was tutoring, and they needed part-time evening instructors. So I started doing evening classes. I was working probably 14-hour days, because evening classes started about 3 hours after my regular work day ended. So I would stick around the college for a few hours and then teach my classes and then bus home, because of course I didn't have a car. Well, I had one, it just wasn't drivable. I did that for a long time. And since I had moved back home, I was able to drop my expenses down to pretty much nothing. And every single penny that I earned extra went on my lowest debt. smallest credit card debt that I had, which I think was something like $1,500. That was my smallest credit card debt. And I started knocking that little small guy out. And when he was done, I rejoiced. And I took the money that was going on those minimum payments and the extra money I was making with my extra job, and I hit the next card and the next card until I moved down here. At which point, thanks to great changes in exchange rate and all that kind of good stuff and a much better paying job, I was able to knock the rest of my debts off, I think, within about a year and a half. The apartment that I was living in when I first moved here was an awful pit. $300 a month, furnished efficiency. But it was the cheapest thing I could find, and that's what I wanted. Because I knew I was still in debt, and I was still stuck in that frame of mind. It was important to me to get out of all of my debt as soon as humanly possible. And to be honest with you, I wish I had a better understanding of why it was so important to me, because in retrospect, I'm not sure. It hadn't bothered me before, and then all of a sudden, I was fierce about it. If I hadn't been, there's no way I would have gotten out of it as soon as I did. Or maybe at all. That's one of the necessities of getting out of debt. You have to be fierce about it. You have to be so worried, and it's got to be so on your mind that it moves you to do things intentionally to fix the problem. Heather and I are still in debt. We have debts, and we're working on them. But one thing that has helped us is using a budget. You know, I've had a lot of budgets, a lot of budgets. And they never seemed to quite work right. And I wasn't sure why. I would always get hit by these long-term expenses that I always forgot about. You know, especially with being a new homeowner. Boy, when I got hit with my first homeowner's insurance bill, wow, knocked my socks off. I'd never seen a bill like that before. I should have known it was coming, but just hadn't quite budgeted it. It's a real skill. It's hard to keep track of all the money that's really coming in and all the money that's really going out. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to deny yourself a lot of things, but you have to be intentional about what you're doing. If you can't be intentional about what you're spending your money on, you're not going to know where it's going. I remember, you know, it's something that I would say, and it's something I always heard other people say, you know, not enough month at the end of the money. There you go. Thank you. Where did the money go? And you wouldn't know. If you don't know where your money is going, you're not being a good steward. It's as simple as that. You have to know what you have. Because if you don't, a little something from Proverbs to remind us what's at stake. Proverbs 22, verses 26 and 27. Do not be a man who strikes hands in pledge or puts up security for debts. If you lack the means to pay, your very bed will be snatched from under you. I have a friend who recently went through bankruptcy, and he did lose his house and his furniture and all that kind of good stuff. It can and will happen. Bankruptcies have been going up every year for probably at least a decade. A few years ago, they broke 1 million in a year, and it's only gone up since that. So you think of over a million people every year, likely different people, declaring bankruptcy each year. How and why is this happening? Because we're looking at the cost of things and saying, how much does it cost me per month? Not how much does it cost me? We're not willing to wait and save up and not buy it unless we actually have the money. I think it's especially difficult for folks who've grown up in middle-class homes and families. You know, it was, in some ways, I was a little luckier and a little more insulated against it because it took a long time before I had a credit card, and my mom, you know, didn't have a credit card. You know, so she warned me about, you know, how bad they were and all that kind of good stuff. At the same time saying that I needed one. Because you got to have one. Just always pay the balance off at the end of each month, right? Can you say playing with fire? Because we all know there'll never be an emergency that requires more money than you have that month. I mean, the whole point of a credit card is that you don't have the money. How are you going to pay it off at the end of each month if you don't have the money? If you had the money, you wouldn't need the credit card. You'd just use your debit card. And that's not to say that I haven't had credit cards that kept zero balances for long periods of time, and we've all done it, I'm sure. But that first time that something big hits, and you have a balance, and it hurts a little, but you start making your minimum payment, and you kind of get used to it. And then something else big hits, and it's a good thing that they upped your limit, because now you can put that on your credit card too. I had something here that was just nuts. The average carryover balance on credit cards is something like $4,800. If you were to actually try to pay that off with the minimum payments, I can't find it now, but it was something silly like 10, 15 years, something like $15,000 in interest. When we're making those minimum payments, or we're, even if we're making more than the minimum payment, but we're still making payments, we forget that every month that dollar that we borrowed is costing us more than a dollar. The same reason that I can take a $378 a month car payment and pay it every month, and after a few years, have my car paid off, which of course now is worth a lot less than it was when I bought it. And odds are, when apparently what most folks do is after you pay off your car, you wait maybe 6 months or a year or less, and then you buy a new car because this one's old now, and you take it out another loan. It's very common. Most of the cars you're going to see on the road, there's payments on them right now. You just keep turning it over. I think that's kind of why leases are so popular now. Everyone's kind of used to it. Well, of course you have a car payment. If you were to take that $378 a month car payment and just run around in a beater that you paid cash for, but keep using that $378 from the time you're, say, 25 to 65, you'd have $4 million if you invested it in low-risk, simple, you know, kind of financial garbage investment. Yeah, I'm not covering financial investments today. $4 million. I guarantee you, you didn't get $4 million out of car value out of those payments. It's the difference between you paying someone else interest and someone paying you interest. If you're going into debt to buy things instead of investing money, putting it in the savings account, whatever you want to do, you are going to pay more for things. And it's money that you could be putting elsewhere.